Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Christian, and you are watching Ride the Fence. If you haven't subscribed to us yet, please go ahead and click that subscribe button, and then click all if you're on YouTube, and go ahead and make sure that you get notified whenever a new video comes out. So a lot's happened since the last time that I did a live stream. Unfortunately, today I'm not going to have Christian Marino with me. He got a brand new job and is kind of in the middle of, you know, swapping over to that new schedule and everything. And it's just been a bit of a challenge to, you know, have the exact same schedule to be able to do this together. But I want to talk about several things. One being President Biden's State of the Union address. For everybody who watched that, I feel like we all, anybody who considers themselves to be somebody who does not align with the Democratic or Republican parties, probably thought that speech was awful. The first 10 or 15 minutes felt like an ad to a Halliburton commercial or Raytheon or something like that. And then it kind of poured over into this strange love for police. Joe Biden, he said in the address, you know, people are talking about defund the police. Well, fund them. Look, I don't have a problem necessarily with his statement. I mean, I don't agree that we need to have even more cops than we already have. But I just think we need to spend the money that we're already spending better. But the thing is the Democratic Party pretty much ran on slogans like defund the police. Now, Joe Biden did distance himself from those statements on the campaign trail, but he very much banked on other people who believe in notions like defund the police in order to win. And so I think it is very dishonest of him to take an opportunity like that in such a big speech that it's such a very dangerous time in our life as a nation and really as a planet to kind of almost go back on what is one of the principles of the Democratic Party. I mean, even people like Cory Booker, who are probably the most moderate Democrats on the stage during the Democratic primary in 2020, supported things like defund the police. I'm not here to support or, you know, I wish Christian Marino was here because I know he would give us his thoughts on this and be very fiery about it. Maybe he will next week. But, you know, that kind of sucked, I feel like. And then it turned into, you know, just, I don't know. He skipped a lot of topics. He didn't bring up a lot of different things that we are dealing with right now as a country. It was just a scary speech. It was scary, probably somewhere around the 29 or 30 minute mark. If you watched it all the way through, you noticed that whatever he had been given or taken, I'm speculating, I don't have any evidence of this, but it seems like he started to malfunction during the performance. And as time went on, he seemed to stutter more and get caught in his words even more. So in every way, the speech was just not what it should have been. It was embarrassing. And I do think that there were positive aspects of it. I do think it's true that we should buy American. And if we're going to spend taxpayer dollars on various things, that all of those products that we're creating should also be made in America rather than, you know, funneling tax dollars from the United States to foreign countries. We should be spending it right here. And so that was a very positive part of the speech. But the rest of it felt very dystopian. It felt like, if you didn't believe we live in a police state, you ought to believe it now. He even talked about Ketanji being the next Supreme Court justice to replace Breyer. And he brought up that, you know, he bragged that she was raised by police officers and I think is a member of the Fraternal Order of Police, or either that or her parents were. I mean, it was very not positive for the left. So I don't want to spend too much time on that, but I did want to just give my brief thoughts on it. Another thing I wanted to talk about was just really since this entire thing has begun, and let me just look over here real quick and make sure that, yeah, it does look like that I am live right now. So hopefully if anybody's watching this, you can hear me. One of the things that I noticed about all of this is just that as the days have gone by, I've taken screenshots over and over again of my Instagram feed and other feeds like Google News, not tailored for you, but the headline section of it. So for everyone who uses Google News, you know that you've got the one section where if you like something or follow a story, then Google will actually start giving you more stories similar to that one. I never use that ever. Okay. I want to see the generic list of headline articles that are available so that I don't feel like it's the minimal amount of manipulation is occurring to me. And also at the same time, I can see the same generic manipulation that they provide for everyone else. And that is why I do it like that. But throughout this time, I have noticed that there has been a great deal of what I would call propaganda that has been, propelled forward by the Democratic Party and, you know, probably the Republican Party too, but these are more or less liberal sources that I'm about to start quoting. So I think that is actually where my attention is focused in this instance. But give me just a second to get to the correct thing. Okay, so you know, it all started off with, of course, the invasion of the Ukraine, and you know, people feel that is the beginning of this story now. For anybody who watches Breaking Points or has read into this in any detail, I know Sagar did a little brief monologue on it a couple weeks ago prior to the invasion, explaining how we promised as a nation that we would not expand NATO in the direction of Russia. And we didn't give it on paper. We did not give that promise on paper, but only as a, our word. And then we kind of broke that over time and continued to break it more and more and more, leading up to talks of possibly the Ukraine joining NATO. And so that is kind of what led us to this moment. You know, Russia is a world superpower, and they do not want us, who is another world superpower, to kind of overtake them or surveil them to the degree that they currently believe that we are. I'm not making excuses for Putin, because he is an authoritarian dictator. He's a piece of garbage. But it would have been better if we had left it alone. But that's just my opinion. I'm not a foreign policy expert. Anyway, back to what I was getting at, and I think I brought this up in past episodes as well, but you'll notice things like what I brought up before, the child playing the piano during the bombing of Ukraine, and, you know, we're alone for our country. Who can save us now? Well, more has happened since then. There has been more and more and more. There's been posts by the Washington Post, you know, Ukrainians describe waking up to explosions. This is meant to be purposely evocative. And the list goes on and on and on of their sins so far. And every single time that I wake up, there's a little bit more. Why the Kremlin keeps bizarrely insisting that Ukraine is run by Nazis. Now, there is a difference between there being Nazis in a population of people and the entire population being Nazis. So I think that's disingenuous. That's sort of I don't know. Let's just not even get into it. But I don't want to stop there because I've seen so much, and I should have done a better job organizing it before I click live here. But, you know, as someone who's watching a kid all the time, it's very hard to find the time. Okay. Ukrainian man tries to stop Russian tank. This is by the Washington Post. Here's another one. A couple was in Ukraine to adopt a child. As troops close in and flights got scarce, they narrowly escaped. Also by the Washington Post. Again, this is owned by Jeff Bezos. So we have to remember, then we had this sort of, well, they're not letting the Africans leave. You know, there's all this racism going on. Yes, now suddenly corporate media cares about the Africans. I'm not saying that you shouldn't care about them. I'm just saying the news never does until this moment. Then suddenly they care. Ukrainian boy on leaving his father behind. We left dad in Kyiv. Okay. Look at him. It's like a sad, it's also the Washington Post. And I am not purposely, like, I'm not just following the Washington Post. This is just what they spit out at me constantly. A security camera captured the incident. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky said there were dozens of victims. This is talking about a missile strike on Central Square in Kharkiv, this country's second largest city. This is also by the Washington Post. Now, this is just more or less an event that occurred. But the collection of these things happening together, no matter what it's called, is going... This is a speech... also on the Washington Post by Volodymyr Zelensky. He gives a very long speech, or not a very long speech, but it's a very heartfelt speech, excuse me, seeming speech. It's just purposely evocative, as usual, as most propaganda is. No matter what it's called, is going to be called, as today, Freedom Square. You know, just like this... Oh, man, this country. Pornhub remains accessible in Russia following the invasion of Ukraine, according to fact checkers. This apparently was outrageous to people that Russian citizens who have nothing to do with this war at all can masturbate. You know, we need to take this offline so that they're not able to do so as effectively, because we should punish them for the actions of Vladimir Putin. Let's ignore the fact that there's millions of people out there, probably at least thousands, but I would be, you know, venture to say probably much more than that, maybe tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, whatever, of people who are protesting this war in the streets. Okay, so this is not, you know, what Putin has done is not a representation of everybody. Just like if there is some leader in the Ukraine who happens to be a Nazi, or maybe even multiple, that doesn't mean that all of the citizens are Nazis. One of the announcements that was made, I know during the State of the Union, probably elsewhere as well, the U.S. will join allies in closing airspace to Russian planes amid conflict in the Ukraine. And this is just a trending topic on Twitter. So what we're seeing here, in my opinion, okay, here's another one from his speech from Joe Biden. Well, that actually has nothing to do with this, so I'm just going to leave that out of it for now so this doesn't get too confusing. Oh, man. So I'm bringing all this stuff up simply because separately, it doesn't really mean a whole lot. But altogether, this is a massive narrative that basically Russia's the bad guy. We are innocent. We've done nothing wrong. We're blameless. We did not initiate this in any way. We didn't instigate it over the years by constantly expanding NATO against our own word. We should just ignore that. What we need to focus on is the fact that they're racist. There's Nazis there. They won't let Africans out. And the list goes on and on and stuff. There's children playing, you know, emotional songs on the piano while bombs are dropping. Stuff that has nothing really to do with anything other than, hey, we want you to be so outraged. We want you to be so upset by the things that we're saying that you go against your better judgment, which your heart is telling you, and you decide that we should go to war. And this is how it always happens. You know, the government wants us to beg them to take our rights away. They don't want to take them away because then we could revolt. They need us to beg them to do it for us, to keep us safe, to give us a false sense of security. Another one here, Volodymyr Zelensky, he gives a long speech and he starts talking about the one of the lines here that I have screenshotted is, you know, we are a people who have ruined our enemy's plans in 1 week. And during this speech, this is from the New York Times. He starts giving a speech and he explains that over time they've captured more and more prisoners of war, Russian soldiers, and they ask them, they interrogate them, why are you here? Why are you doing this? And he says that none of them even know, that they're just children and they've been taken advantage of by Vladimir Putin, and that this needs to end and that they're going to win. This is a battle of morale, and we need to be able to see through this as a nation, or we will end up in another 20-year war with hundreds of thousands of casualties for no reason whatsoever. Nothing positive could possibly come of this overall when you when you try to weigh the good and the bad regarding this scenario. Putin responded shortly thereafter. This is also in the New York Times. He gives a speech and he says, and it's called Putin Acknowledges Russian Casualties. And he gives a speech, and in it he explains that everything is proceeding strictly in line with the timetable. Those are his exact words. So he seems to say, you know, he may just be following the age-old advice, never let him see you sweat, or maybe he really has planned this out for quite a long time. He's been the president for over 2 decades. So he has certainly had some time to think about it. Now we have outlets. Here's the Washington Post again, trying to say that Vladimir Putin is isolated. He is erratic. He has no idea what he's doing and stuff like that. This is, again, just trying to ignore the fact that we instigated this on several occasions and throw all the blame squarely on Vladimir Putin and just ignore our fault in this. And then, we get everybody riled up to go to war. And then what, you know? And now here was something that Sagar shared. This is a tweet from Lindsey Graham. Okay, so everyone knows who Lindsey Graham is. Is there a Brutus in Russia? Is there a more successful Colonel Stauffenberg in the Russian military? The only way this ends is for somebody in Russia to take this guy out. You would be doing your country and the world a great service. This is, again, from Lindsey Graham. I don't think you were able to see that at all when I just left it up, but you can just go check his page. I'm sure that he's still got it up. That is an awful idea. That's an awful idea for a lot of reasons. I would say the main reason why it's a shitty idea is because you do not want to make a martyr out of somebody. Do you think that Putin couldn't have probably had Zelensky killed by now? And possibly even vice versa? The reality, though, is that... that doesn't happen because nobody wants anyone to be a martyr. That's bad. That's bad strategizing. That is not the mind of a commander in chief. And I pray that nobody in charge of anything related to the military follows the advice of someone like Lindsey Graham in a moment like this. I guess we'll see what happens. Maybe again, like I said last week, maybe by the time next week gets here, we've already been blown off the face of the earth. But if not, please go ahead and click that subscribe button, click that follow button wherever you're at, click the thumbs up, leave a comment, and share this with other people, please. And if you're on YouTube, please click that subscribe button, then click that little bell, and then click all so you actually get notified when a new video comes out. Because again, if we are still here, I would love to see you again. That's all I really have to say so far at the moment about the situation in the Ukraine. I know that they are welcoming people from other countries to come in and help them fight this war at the moment. And that there is a lot of pushback towards Russia because apparently the Russian military shot missiles at a nuclear power plant and, could have caused some severe damage for everybody in the area, including themselves. But I don't know if we know too much more than that at the moment. So I'm just going to wait and see what happens. The last thing that I really wanted to talk about, other than the fact that the Democratic Party thinks things like this, something that Crystal Ball shared on Instagram, are important. Russian cats have been banned from the International Cat Federation. And that's from the Washington Post. Of course, it's the Washington Post. Isn't everything incredible from the Washington Post? Excuse me. But I do want to escape that topic for the moment. And I want to talk about one more thing while I'm still here. And that is the trans debate that I have gotten a lot of heat for over the past few days on my personal Facebook page, not the podcast pages. I believe that I have some very not YouTube acceptable beliefs, or at least that's how I understand them. I don't know that for sure because I see people like... I see people with far more extreme views than me on YouTube on a regular basis. So maybe that's not true, but I do. Well, I want to talk about one more thing before I get back to that. The Democratic Party shared a tweet. She wasn't the Democratic Party. It was Occupy Democrats. They shared a tweet about 3 weeks ago, and this is what it said. If you're a Democrat who agrees with Joe Biden that we should ban assault weapons like the AR-15 because the Second Amendment isn't absolute because you couldn't buy a cannon when it was passed, please retweet and follow us for more breaking news. Okay? Sounds good, right? I mean, it doesn't sound good, but good enough, right? That's February 3rd. That's a Thursday. 1:43 p.m. Okay, this is 3 weeks later, also on a Thursday. Okay, Ukraine's interior minister announces that 10,000 automatic rifles have been handed out to the civilians of Kyiv as they prepare to fight tooth and nail to defend their homes against Putin's invasion. Retweet if you stand with the brave Ukrainian people. That's all I have to say. I'm not actually going to give any more commentary than that. I just wanted to share that. Those are 3 weeks apart. And now back to the other topic. So I made some posts. I made one post, and it said that it was kind of like this. It was this chart, and it basically said that you've got male, you've got female, and then anything else other than that is a mental illness. That was obviously not taken well by a lot of people. I stand by what I said 1,000%, but it got hundreds of comments, got dozens of shares. And people were being ferocious towards me and anyone who agreed with me on the post, which was a lot of people agreed privately who just were too scared to agree publicly, but several people also still agreed publicly. I had another one. When you've just transitioned to a male and now they start talking about the possibility of World War III, and it's a picture of Will Smith from an old YouTube segment called Rewind Time, and it's him saying, "It's rewind time." Another one, saying "I identify as" is the same as saying "I pretend to be." Facts, man. Fucking facts. Another one, the left, this one didn't really get a whole lot, like really any sort of interaction compared to the other ones, because I guess it's not nearly as, at this point, most of them had already said what they were going to say and wished death on me and told me terrible things, so they got that past them. That, because they're very, very compassionate people. That's why they were doing that. The left is pushing everyone so far to the right that it's comical. Completely self-defeating. Still agree with it. A lot of people who tagged me in public posts, threatening me, dragging my wife into it, perpetuating purely ad hominem attacks on me because they had no sources to back up their actual beliefs that are, but anyway, a lot of those people ended up blocking me. I didn't block any of them this time around. They blocked me. So I shared a couple of them, just showing people. There was one person named Tori. He's actually a grown man, but he says he is a woman named Tori, and he was threatening my life. He threatened to attack me if he saw me in public, all kinds of things. So when he blocked me, of course, I shared it with everybody that, hey, this person that's been harassing me for days blocked me. Thanking God every day that my sexuality doesn't make up my personality. And then it's a picture of Patrick from SpongeBob praying. Happy. I shared these because I believe them. I shared them because I believe them to be true. And when people responded to me in my posts, instead of, you know, insulting them and making fun of them like most of them did me, I asked them simply, what are your sources? And, you know, because they are on my post, I have a view. They're coming to tell me your view is wrong based on the facts. And so I'm like, okay, the facts, what are those facts? Do you have them? Most people refuse to give them. They would say, well, someone else already gave them to you. Well, I'm asking for yours. I'm not asking for theirs. I'm asking for yours. But I continue to ask. I compiled a list of them. So here is a lot of it. Just for anyone out there who said that I was just saying that I was going to collect them, but I'm not actually going to collect them. I have this right here, and this is a list. And then throughout this list, there, you know, within them are citations of other studies and things like that. So what I wanted to let you all know is that I stand by my statements. I 1,000% still agree with myself on this and with scientific facts, not pseudoscience, not one point that it's been removed from the DSM or something like that. I mean, think about how many government organizations do sketchy things all the time. Are we really to believe that some massive government-funded organization, even though it isn't a government organization by itself, it is government-funded in part, you know, like a great deal, if not completely. Let's not pretend like it's the end-all be-all. Let's actually look at the information. So I had people that I asked for their sources say, okay, here's the sources. And then when I would say, okay, well, I'm going to read them and I'm going to get back to you. I'll send you a message when I'm done, or I'll respond to you here when I'm done, or whatever I would say, depending on, you know, case by case basis. people would say immediately, oh, no, 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 you can't, like, you're not, you don't have the credentials. You're not able to do that. Okay. I understand I don't have a PhD, like people such as, for example, Milton Diamond. That was someone who is commonly cited. Yes, I don't have the credentials. But if there are errors, like what's the harm in me reading it? Would you be willing to listen to me if I were to make points that were very valid? I think that the answer is yes, if you're an open-minded person, if you actually care about the facts, if you actually care about the information. So I decided to start reading them, and I don't have even the first source finished yet. But I do want to read what I was able to gather just based on one interaction with one person that I had and the sources that they provided to me. And I'm going to share with you what I have so far. And from this point forward, each week, we're going to do our weekly segment where we cover the news, but I'm not going to discuss this. But it's not because I'm not going to discuss it at all, because I want you guys to know, for everybody who's listening to the show, for everybody who's watching it on YouTube or Facebook or Odyssey or wherever you're at, we have a segment coming very, very soon on this topic where we will be going out in public and we will be asking people a very special couple of questions. And I very much look forward to it. And I want you guys to know that I am not backing down. I don't care if you agree with me or not. I don't care what you say about me. I don't care what you wish upon me. Just stay the hell away from me and my family. You can say whatever you want, but the first time you take an action, that will be an awful mistake that you make. So leave me alone. And I will be coming back to revisit this separately from the weekly segments. This will be the only time for the foreseeable future that I discuss this at the same time as the rest of the news. In the future, when I put out these segments covering each and every single one, right hand to God, every single one of these sources, I will read it and do the best that I can to let it sink in and fully understand what it's saying, and then I will put out a segment as a response to each and every one of them. Now, if you are an open-minded person and you ever visited my page or you ever listened or watched my podcast because you wanted to hear what I had to say and you wanted to change my mind on this topic because you believe that I am incorrect, then I challenge you to return to this show and listen to those reviews of the sources that have been given to me by you guys, and hear what I have to say. Because there are two ways that you can handle this. One, you can spew vitriol, you can spew hatred at people, you can attack them and wish death on them and encourage them to commit suicide and threaten their families and tag them in posts and try to get people expelled from school and try to cost people their jobs. All things, by the way, that I have seen so far just on my own page alone from the very small post that I've made. And I have a very small following compared to some people out there, but compared to a lot of people. If that was your goal, then you were succeeding. But if your goal was to change the world for the better and you believe that convincing me that you are correct and that the information that you provided is correct, if you believe that convincing me would make the world a better place for trans people out there or for anyone for that matter, then your only option is to come back and listen to that and to hear what I have to say so that you can form a response and provide that to me so that I can think about it, so that I can see and hear what you have to say, and so that I can consider it going forward. So anyway, a source was given to me. This is on the harvard.edu website, and it's called Between... matter of fact, let me just pull this up, because I want to make sure that I don't misquote that at all. And yes, fuck censorship. Thank you, Indy Left, for saying that. I think that that's another thing that I want to mention. This is something that, you know, we are going to have to do a better job as a society of accepting the opinions of others, because there are cases where I agree with those who are enraged at me about these particular topics. On there are situations where I have to agree with them on all kinds of things. You know, where you could call me an ally even, but then when you attack somebody like this, you lose people who would have been willing to work with you, who could have changed things with you if you really wanted that, if they really wanted that. But because you, you know, excoriate them publicly like that, you lose the ability to fight those fights often. I'm not going to run away from you guys, but some people, probably most people would. And you need to remember that. You know, you catch more flies with honey, I think is the saying, right? And it's the truth. So this is on the Harvard website, and this is the last thing that I want to talk about, and then I'm going to get out of here for the day and see you guys next week. So again, if you haven't subscribed, please click that subscribe button. Please share it with other people. Click that like. Leave a comment. Tell me how great I am. Tell me how much I suck. Do it in the comments, man. In 2016, a controversial bill was signed in Georgia, and I'm reading this off the Harvard website, banning transgender individuals from using restrooms designated for the sex with which they identify. In the wake of this legislation, Between the Gender Lines, the Science of Transgender Identity explored what was known at the time about transgender identity, discussing scientific evidence for its biological bases, as well as the social and psychological ramifications of binary gender classifications. Well, right there, I have something to say. Between the Gender Lines, the Science of Transgender Identity explored what was known at the time about transgender identity, discussing scientific evidence for its biological bases. What scientific evidence? Are we supposed to just take them at their word? We haven't read this paper. We have no idea. We have no idea what it says. But right then, it's just telling you, hey, this is full of facts. Accept that. Okay, let me continue. Regrettably, both the text and the figures in this article were being abused by those seeking to support their own beliefs. I'm assuming they're talking about conservatives or really anyone who is... I wouldn't say conservatives. Anyone who is willing to accept scientific facts for what they are, is I'm assuming who they're talking about. People who believe in science rather than pseudoscience are their enemies. Regrettably, both the text and the figures in this article are being used by those abused by those seeking to support their own beliefs. As such, we decided to remove this article in 2021 to prevent its further misappropriation by individuals and groups seeking to oversimplify this complex subject and promote views that lack a scientific basis. Okay, now most of you who are pissed off at me right now are saying, that's you. You're the person they're talking about. You know what I see when I read that? They wrote an article that cites these 9 peer-reviewed studies that was so bad. It was so awful, so unconvincing that it became a tool for Republicans. Republicans were able to say, look at this paper. This is why I don't believe this crap. And then show people the paper. Now that is shocking, okay? But this is what they were telling you just a moment ago. You need to believe it. It's full of scientific evidence. We discussed the scientific evidence for its bases, biological bases, right? We're not discussing the possibility that this is scientific evidence. We are discussing the evidence because it's there, according to them. But then they redacted it. So I guess you got to trust them, right? Now, with anybody with critical thinking skills, what are you thinking right now? They redacted it. Good Lord. We still believe in the value of rigorous scientific research about transgender identity. Encourage you to read the published peer-reviewed studies that we cited in the original article if you are interested in learning more about this topic. Linked below. Wow. That sounds... wow. You know? I mean, it sounds prestigious, you know? This is rigorous scientific research. It sounds prestigious. It's peer-reviewed. I mean, top-notch. It doesn't get much better than that, right? It does not get that much better than that, okay? But then you have to ask yourself, what does peer-reviewed even mean? What does that even mean? I mean, you hear it all the time, and it sounds so intense. It sounds like you can't question that. It's peer-reviewed. This is what it means, according to Oxford Languages. The evaluation of scientific, academic, or professional work by others working in the same field. Peer-reviewed research can be great, but it is not inherently great because it is peer-reviewed. Evaluation of X by others working in the same field. It can be valuable or it can be trash. In this context, it is here to be an intimidating adjective. Don't question this. It is peer-reviewed. reviewed. Don't question it. It's peer reviewed. Published, comma. What a useless adjective here. Anyone can publish something at any time. Do you have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, or what about a website? Something does not have to be published in a medical library to be valuable. Okay, you can say, well, it's published in a medical library. It's inherently valuable. I guarantee you, go to that library, read every book if you could possibly have enough time in your life to do that. You could just walk around and pick books out, and I guarantee that they're not all accurate. You probably read some pretty stupid things in there. You know, not every study is as scientific as people say it is. But I don't want you to take me at my word. I'm going to read this entire study to you, and I encourage you to read it too. I'm going to provide you guys the links to this right here. And each time that I go over a study, which I haven't even finished this first one yet, but every time I go over it, I'm going to do an entire segment. So I'm going to redo all this for this full study. Okay. But every single time I'm going to provide the links to you, and I encourage you not to trust me. Don't take my word for it. Go read it by yourself with an open mind. But anyway, it says published, a published peer reviewed. You can publish anything. What about a website? Do you have a website? You could make one for free. You could pay a few bucks a year and own a custom domain. I think it's like $5-$10 bucks a year, tops. Anyone can publish anything any time now. It doesn't matter. That word means nothing anymore. Okay, it doesn't mean anything. And this paper was written in 2013. It barely meant anything then. Okay, it has meaning. Yes, it's published. Like it's an article. It's cited by Harvard. It's on the Hawaii.edu website, I believe. But guess what? That doesn't mean that you can't read it. That doesn't mean that you can't question it. That doesn't mean that you can't use critical thinking skills and look at it objectively. You know, like what does it mean objectively? What does it mean that we can't argue with? You know, and the comma makes it sound like publishing something is prestigious. This isn't just peer reviewed. It's also published. You know, that's the reason why it's there. Rigorous scientific research. I'm all ears. I want to hear this. Okay. So then I go click on the very first published peer reviewed study. It's called Transsexuality Among Twins, Identity Concordance, Transition, Rearing and Orientation. The source is on Hawaii.edu. This is a shorter URL, so I am going to read it out loud for anybody who wants to just type this in. If you're in the car and you're listening to this and there's somebody sitting next to you, man, tell them to type it in, okay? Don't trust me, okay? Read it for yourself. Never take my word for something. Go read it for yourself. Hawaii.edu/PCSS/biblio/articles/2010-2014/2013-transsexuality.html. And again, this source will be in the weekly newsletter that includes the episode. So you can go to the our website, ridethefence.com, and go to the podcast page, and it will be on there. This will be on here for episode 110, I believe it is. So before we go further, it is important that everyone understands what an abstract is, okay? To make it simple, here is the Wikipedia definition of an abstract. An abstract is a brief summary of a research article, thesis, review, conference proceeding, or any in-depth analysis of a particular subject, and is often used to help the reader quickly ascertain the paper's purpose. So to make that simpler, I'm gonna lower this to a, you know, late middle school and high school comprehension level, reading comprehension level, okay, or whatever, however you want to word it, okay, because not everybody has 12 degrees, okay, not everybody has written a peer reviewed study, a study that was later peer reviewed that had an abstract in it, and they're all prestigious and shit. Not everyone has had that opportunity, okay? And we're not going to rule people out of something because they can't afford something like that because they don't have the money or time. We're going to stop being classist as hell, quote unquote, leftists, and wake the fuck up and let people and encourage people to think for themselves instead of just submitting to the machine. So, with that being said, basically an abstract is a thesis statement of a 5-paragraph essay. So, you know, if you write a 5-paragraph essay in high school, you've got your introductory paragraph, you got your conclusion paragraph, and in between that, you have 3 more paragraphs, each addressing a different point in great detail and doing your best to make the case that those things are true in those paragraphs. But the thesis statement introduces the topic of those 3 paragraphs within it, you know, and sums up basically what you're trying to say right there in that statement. So an abstract is very similar in that way. So if an abstract doesn't even make sense, right? If the abstract itself isn't logically sound, I'm not saying you shouldn't read the rest of the study, because there is still a great chance that there is invaluable information in that study. You never actually know till you read it. But one thing that we can safely submit here is that if the abstract is not logically sound, probably the rest of the article is questionable as well. It's very suspect, okay? So, again, with this information, we see that if the abstract itself is not sound, the research it is summarizing is also suspect. So here is, with that being said, the abstract. The relative contributions of genetic and environmental factors to the development of gender identity have been debated. Twins were studied that are concordant or discordant for gender identity status in order to provide clarification of this issue. An extensive library search yielded reports of 27 male and 16 female sets concordant or discordant for transsexuality. An internet bulletin board search and clinical contact requests for participants in a study of twins in which one or both transition located 69 new twin pairs. In addition to asking about matters associated with gender, these new twins were asked about their transition, rearing, and sexual practices. Combining data from the present survey with those from past published reports, 20% of all male and female monozygotic twin pairs were found concordant for transsexual identity. This was more frequently the case for males, 33%, than for females, 23%. The responses of our twins relative to their rearing, along with our findings regarding some of their experiences during childhood and adolescence, show their identity was much more influenced by their genetics than their rearing. Okay, so there's a lot to take in here, okay? It says an extensive library search yielded reports of 27 male and 16 female sets concordant or discordant for transsexuality. So 27 plus 16, you know, is 43, right? So you got 43 sets total through an extensive library search that, again, it could be one or more was transgender. So it may or may not actually mean, it may or may not actually make the case that the other twin was trans and that this is actually a genetic thing. Okay. At the same time, it also says an internet bulletin board search and clinical contact request for participants in a study of twins in which one or both transition located 69 new twin pairs. Okay, so you got 43 plus 69 there. Okay, so now you got, what is that, 112 or something like that or whatever. Okay, so you've got a pretty fair number of people there. But that's not like the most scientific thing you've ever heard, because there are 1.6 million twins roughly in the world, which means it's like 800,000 sets of twins out there. So there are nowhere near enough sets of twins in this study for this to be considered this groundbreaking scientific research, just based on the conclusion that he has drawn in this very short abstract. Okay, but let us go on. I don't want to stop there. Combining data from the present survey with those from past published reports, 20% of all male and female monozygotic twin pairs were found concordant for transsexual identity. This was more frequently the case for males, 33%, than for females, 23%. I am not saying yet that this is a mental disorder. I'm not trying to make that case right now, okay? What I am saying, though, is that this statistic that 20% of all male and female monozygotic twin pairs are found concordant for transsexual identity. That's like 1 in 5 or something. That's a pretty high number, right? But the reality is that even mental illnesses are often genetic. So therefore, that is not actually, that doesn't make the case in either direction. It doesn't say, oh, well, it is, you know, it is or is not a mental disorder. You know, you don't have to be a scientist to just see this. Obviously, this is, I'm not twisting the man's words at all. This is just blatant as hell. Okay, it does not make the case either way. So you can drop that. You can quit pretending like it's not possible for it to be a mental illness, okay? And then this is the last sentence of the abstract, and this is the grand slam, I feel like, for what I'm trying to say here. The responses of our twins relative to their rearing, along with our findings regarding some of their experiences during childhood and adolescence, show their identity was much more influenced by their genetics than their rearing. Okay, listen to that again. The responses of our twins relative to their rearing, along with our findings regarding some of their experiences during childhood and adolescence, show their identity was much more influenced by their genetics than their rearing. The responses of our twins relative to their rearing. Think about that. I guess we have to completely trust the conclusion of the gut feelings of Milton Diamond, PhD, paired with the memory of strangers. He wasn't even there for their childhood. He doesn't even know anything other than what they tell him. He has to just trust them, okay? And most of these people, he just searched. He didn't even talk to them, okay? But we're about to get there too. Never questioning anything he has written or they have shared. Or we can actually read it and point out the errors ourselves. Anyone can do this, not just me, not just someone with a PhD. You can read it. Maybe you don't understand every single word of it. For example, monozygotic. Does anyone reading, listen to this right now, automatically know what that means? I'm sure somebody does, but not everyone, right? You may not fully comprehend every single word of it. You can look a lot of it up and then learn it. But again, it doesn't matter. You don't even actually have to fully comprehend every single word to be able to point out the obvious mistakes, okay? And if there are obvious mistakes, there are also mistakes that are not so obvious that you just can't pick up on because you don't know. So anyway, after the abstract, he gives an explanation as to why he did this study. He basically explains why it is that he chose to do a study of this nature. And this is what he has to say. A letter from a set of identical twin sisters alerted me that one, but not the other, would be transitioning to live as a man and asking if they might be useful in the study of transsexuality. With a background in studying the relationship of twinning and homosexuality, and then he cites himself, and uncovering the twins involved in the John Jones case, and then he cites himself, as well as having reported on conjoined twins, and then he cites himself, all due to a long-term interest in sexual development, and then he cites himself. Immediately piqued curiosity and initiated a search as to previous findings, it became clear that transsexuality among twins had indeed been reported, but that no directed study of the phenomenon had been done. I accepted the twins' offer and initiated this study. This report is both a review of previously reported findings and the result of a specific research effort to find twins among whom one or both had transitioned from their assigned sex at birth to the gender typical of the opposite sex. I hope you heard that. I'm about to get back to that too. Aspects of the twinning, relation, and rearing were also investigated. The findings have relevance to understanding some of the genetic and social contributions toward the transsexual phenomenon. This subject has been the subject of debate for some time. Initial abstracts of this research have appeared, and then he cites himself. New material is also introduced here regarding rearing, sexual orientation, and the transition process. Wow, that is a mouthful. Okay, so here we go, right after the abstract. We are given the motivation for the study. A twin who is trans decided to reach out because they felt that they were so interesting that they could be of value to the medical community. Now, I fully comprehend the notion that twins could provide some major additional insight regarding this topic. But we all know that if someone is personally reaching out to be a major part of a study of this nature, there is at least a possibility that they are going to have already put a lot of work into justifying their choices thus far. there is at least a chance that they have already decided that they were born this way, or that society or upbringing ultimately resulted in their predicament, and they cherry pick from their memories up to that moment to reinforce their views. At least a chance. Which, by the way, is the whole problem with reinforcing someone's delusions. It's the whole problem. The whole problem with reinforcing someone's delusions. Also, we have this little gem in the author's explanation for the study. Among whom one or both had transitioned from their assigned sex at birth to the gender typical of the opposite sex. The reason I bring this up is because you often hear something like this. And this is actually a comment from a guy named John Lewis on Facebook who commented on my post. This is what he had to say the other day. Christian Mabry, you know that's not true. Trans people will be the first to explain to you the difference between gender and biological sex, which is a fact this and some of your earlier posts I'm seeing now seem to ignore. Not very based or good of you, especially in light of trans people being criminalized for existing in places like Texas. For one, shut the fuck up, John. People are not criminalized for being trans in Texas. Okay, this is a battle about regarding the autonomy, the bodily autonomy of children, you piece of garbage. They will insist to you that trans people know that there is a difference between gender and sex, and that no one is saying that you can transition from one biological sex to another. And yet we are still at the very beginning of this highly cited by angry liberal study. And we already see that when pressed even a little bit more on the topic, it turns out that the line in the sand continues to move. Listen to this again. Among whom one or both had transitioned from their assigned sex at birth to the gender typical of the opposite sex. Why are they not transitioning from the gender typical of their assigned sex to the gender typical of the opposite sex? Why is it that they're transitioning from their assigned sex to the gender of the opposite sex? So now we've just totally abandoned their biological sex. They're, instead of transitioning from the gender of their sex, show some consistency. You don't get to have it both ways. You don't get to, whenever it's convenient for you this time, say that you understand that there's a difference. But then over here, behind closed doors, the sources that you cite, trying to refute, not actually successfully refuting all the people who agree with what I believe, it turns out that the study says that the other thing that you said isn't actually true. You actually believe that you escape the biological sex that you began as. Also, what is this notion that someone is assigning the gender? I understand that they've always assigned the gender, right? But this is now becoming a word that a lot of emphasis is put on. And if you don't believe me, go look at it yourself. What they're basically saying is that that has nothing to do with who you are. The doctor is assigning you the sex, okay? And so you have to ask yourself, what does it mean to assign it? To point to a post or duty, to appoint as a duty or task. That is according to the Merriam-Webster's dictionary right here, okay? The doctor is not giving the child a duty, okay? They are making an apparent observation. An apparent observation. Pointing out an anomaly, pointing out the single exception to this rule, and trying to change the fabric of society based upon it is stupid as hell, okay? That would be like trying to take all the stairs out of every building on the face of the earth because handicapped people exist. What the fuck? So anyway, the wording matters, okay? Definitions, they matter. They actually matter. Everything else in this study, that's just a couple paragraphs in. I already got 9 pages of problems that I found with it. Okay, so I know that there will be plenty more where that came from. But for anyone who is interested, I encourage you to come back. Again, I'm not going to discuss this on the weekly segments that cover the news. I'm going to cover that separately. I'm going to cover this all separately. So please come back. Look, even if you disagree with me, listen to it because you disagree. Tell me all the reasons I'm wrong. I'm waiting to hear it. Thanks again for everybody who has supported this thus far. Thank you to everyone who is listening to the show right now. Thank you to everyone who subscribed. And I will see you next week. If we're still here, if the world has not ended yet.